Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Warp!
So I was looking the other day, I don't remember where it was, but I saw a picture of a guy who was wearing what looked to be a Google Street View camera in a backpack. And then I saw the story that it was, you know, attached to, and Google is doing Street View within Disney parks.
Yeah, which is not even something new for them, actually. Because haven't they been doing this in like state parks and stuff already?
Yeah. I don't think they've done any theme parks, but yeah, they've got Street View around hiking trails and stuff like that. But I just think it's really cool that you can take a virtual walk around, you know, Disneyland.
Right. Well, you know that I'm pretty sure that if you use Google Maps within the parks, you can get like walking directions within the parks already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So no, I didn't know that.
So yeah.
Like
so
to attractions and stuff?
Yeah, or to the restroom. Now, of course, you're probably depending on the accuracy of Google Maps for inside the park stuff, which may not always be as good as, you know, say, just using your My Disney Experience app or something. But it's nice that they, you know, offer it, I guess.
Yeah. That's of all the... So I'm not Google's hugest fan, but they do stuff like that sometimes, and it just... It's fun, you know, like having Street View in the parks and being able to have walking directions to anything within a theme park or in a state park or something. It's fun, it's useful, and it's totally unexpected. And I do enjoy that very much.
So now you're going to be spending, you know, time wishing that you were at Disney, and then you're just going to jump on Google Street View and go walking down Main Street virtually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's sure, totally the same.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely the same. And I'm sure you'll be able to, you know, use your Oculus Rift or whatever to be there virtually and everything and look around and see everything going on around you and whatnot.
And I can use my Anytown USA anthology candle
That's right. That's right. to complete the experience.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So... You know, I like that they're doing things like this, though. I don't know. So I was thinking about this the other day. This somewhat falls to me in the realm of YouTube ride videos.
Mm.
And I say that in that it gives you a taste of Disney without actually being there. And I don't know. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with the idea. And again, props to Google for doing this, and putting that stuff out there and making it available. But for me, I think sometimes it's almost worse because I get a
like
taste,
you'd rather that
but it's
didn't
not
exist.
The real thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I wish that it didn't exist, but
so
I guess
so,
maybe because I'm tempted to use it. Maybe so.
Yeah, well, what's the weirdest thing to me, and so you're looking at Street View on your street, and one person or two people or whatever are taking a walk. It programmatically blurs their face, and that's not too jarring. You know, you see a person taking a walk, and they got a blurry face, and it's like, okay, they were, you know, Google just blurs faces.
Right.
Are these going to have thousands of... people with thousands of blurred faces, because that many people and that many blurred faces is gonna come off as like just weird and creepy.
So what you're saying is there won't actually be anything you can see because it'll all be one big blur, unless they somehow got permission to walk around most of the park before the park opened or something like that.
Well, so the backpack, the camera on the backpack goes up about, looked like 2 or 3 feet above the guy's head. So I don't think visibility is going to be a problem, but you will, just by the nature of taking pictures, you have people's faces in all of them, because the Street View stuff takes, like, the guy walks north on Main Street, but it's taking 360 degrees worth of pictures.
Right.
So you're going to see the people behind him who are walking the same direction and the people in front who are walking in the opposite direction, and they're all going to be blurred faces, and it's going to be some like weird Japanese water ghost type thing where just like a bunch of people with no facial features.
Weird Japanese water ghost. That's what we're calling the people now. If you say so. Again, like I said, my thing is more just the giving me a taste of something that I'm not actually going to be at, I guess, that I'm against. Not even against. The part that just feels a little bit off to me. I think it's mostly because I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to want to be there, and I'm not going to be there, and it's going to be hollow because I'm not actually there, I guess.
Yeah, I get that way when I watch Saving Mr. Banks. In Saving Mr. Banks, there's a scene where they're in Disneyland.
Right.
And I totally recognize everywhere they are, and I get weepy every time I see that scene, because it's like you're saying, you know, a taste of it, but it's just not the same, and it's a real bummer when you like crash back to reality and you're like, oh, I'm in my living room, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So this is okay. So I've been cheating while we've been talking, and have been surfing the internet, mm-hmm. because that's, you know, how I roll while we're talking about stuff. And apparently they've already done this actually at all of the SeaWorld parks.
Oh, really?
So definitely SeaWorld Orlando has this. So I'm actually on my iPhone right now on the street view on some random boardwalk in SeaWorld Orlando. And yes, every face is blurred, but it's actually not that bad.
Really?
Yeah. Cause you know, faces aren't everywhere, at least not at SeaWorld. But it is kind of creepy. Like I'm moving down this little boardwalk or whatever, and people are kind of keeping so like you see the same people in front of you as you're moving further down, and then they're kind of still in front of you, and then they're a little bit closer, and then they're beside you, as the camera, and then suddenly they're behind you or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and actually, the gentleman that's in this picture is wearing a Disney shirt. So way to get some free advertisement there, Disney. But, so yeah. So if you want to see what this looks like, open up your, I would imagine probably the, Google Maps online will do it as well. Or, you know, your iOS app, Android app, whatever. And you can check out what it looks like and probably what Disney is going to have eventually. I think we can probably move on to our next topic for this podcast. So what do we have next?
So we talked about when you stayed at the Contemporary, but I
the,
wanted...
The first and last time that I stayed at the Contemporary, probably?
Right, yes.
Okay.
So when you made your sole stay at the Contemporary, we talked a little bit about how it was, but I think that deluxe resorts are for most people, and I know I'm including myself in this, kind of a probably not going to happen thing. And you know, we talked about some of the amenities and stuff that you had, but what I wanted to talk about was what makes a deluxe resort that much better and maybe like more important, or more of a destination to stay at than, say, you know, a value or a moderate, because they are, especially when compared to the values. I mean, compared to the value resorts, the deluxe resorts are 4 to 6 times more expensive.
Right.
And are you getting 4 to 6 times more anything?
See, I feel like that's a really hard thing to say, because you're getting into perceived value of things. You know, you're not gonna, I think to some extent it comes down to what you're looking for. For me, the biggest difference between the value resort and the deluxe resort, you know, staying at the Contemporary, was just a lot of it was in the details. So things like, having doors that open to the inside of the hotel, as opposed to kind of the more motel feel of, you know, say Pop Century.
Right.
You know, the room just seeming a little bit sleeker, I guess, would be a good term for it. Which, and now I'll say that's definitely, that particular thing I think would be specific to the contemporary. I don't think you'd get that same feel at, say, Animal Kingdom Lodge, which actually I've stayed there one night. So, yeah, you don't get that same feel, but the room feels a little bit nicer. Whereas, you know, Pop Century kind of some, you know, will often feel like an upgraded, I don't know, Days in, Sleep in, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
definitely. You know, and what, when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, one of the nicer ones, and still nicer than that most of the time. But that, you know, there is a difference there. And then, you know, you get details like, I don't know, at the Contemporary, you know, there's a light above. So above the bed, there are two lights. Each one is connected to a dimmer in the wall, and you slide up the dimmer so that you get, you know, and you can get like just barely any light on you, or, you know, you can crank it up full blast, and it's a very directed light, so it really doesn't shine on the other half of the bed.
Hmm.
You know, like up by the head, instead of having, you know, what at the Value Resort is just going to be a lamp sitting there.
That's going to wash the room out, the whole room with light.
Yes. Yeah. And that definitely does not happen with those lights, you know, or there's like, you know, the really cool floor light that was directly underneath the TV that served no purpose other than being, you know, kind of artsy and providing a little bit of light for the room, but not necessary light for the room, but it looked really cool. Or, you know, having a much, much larger television than what you get at the Value Resorts. So, you know, there are those things about it, you know, and I don't know, because I hesitate to say that Value Resorts don't have amazing guest service, because they absolutely do. But there were times that I felt like the guest service was just a little bit better at the Contemporary. And I think part of that is because going in and out of the building, you have more opportunities to interact or get, you know, run into cast members and stuff. Whereas, you know, like Pop Century, you leave first thing in the morning, go jump on the buses. You're going to, you know, you're trucking it through the main hallway or whatever. There might be a cast member there waving at you or something. And then you're going to get back at whatever time, and you're going to truck right back through that hallway.
Yeah, well, and at Coronado Springs, I mean, if you don't ever go to the lobby, you may never see a cast member.
Exactly.
Because those are all separate, you know, separate buildings around the lagoon. And it's basically, I think, five different small Best Westerns, you know, where you've got a whole bunch of rooms that all open to the outside. They've got little window unit AC things below the window. And you may never see a cast member. In the mornings, I know the first person Claire and I ever saw was a bus driver.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the same thing for French Quarter, you know, that's kind of, because you've got those smaller bus stops all along the different areas. You know, again, you don't have to go to the lobby, so you can start and end your day without ever seeing anybody else dealing with the resort.
Which doesn't like correlate to worse customer service, I guess, because like you're just not interacting with anyone. Whereas I think what you're saying is, like, at the Contemporary, you're going to see, you know, they've got bellhops, they've got people in the lobby, you know, they've got the concierge, they've got people everywhere at the monorail station, at, you know, if you pass California Grill, if you pass, there's a gift shop in there, there's that candy place that's, or sweets or whatever it is. You know, there are just people everywhere. That resort, being one building with a huge lobby, is just bustling. And then you look at, like, the Polynesian Village, and you've got people at Ohana, people at Kona, people at the, you know, there's a gift shop there, too. And it's a huge lobby. There's a big seating area. There's the bar. You go outside, there's Trader Sam's Grog Grotto. So again, like these, resorts that are all pretty much one building, Grand Floridian too, you just have a lot more of a chance to see people. You're going to interact with more people because it's almost impossible to leave the resort without seeing resort staff.
Right, right. So I think that that is also a big difference between the deluxe and the, you know, values or even the moderates.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also and now I didn't experience this as much with the contemporary, but definitely at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, there are the opportunities for all of the other stuff that you can do at your resort.
Right.
Especially if, like, you're a parent with kids, there are a lot of things that they will do to, you know, your kids can go and go to this movie night thing or something, or they can go and learn about this animal. And there's, you know, and there's a board there in the lobby that tells you about all the stuff that you have available coming up today and tomorrow and the next day. And I know that they're doing some of that stuff at, so, you know, for example, I know Pop Century had a movie night thing going on, and they actually had a quiz show going on at the pool one day when we were staying there. As I was walking by, I heard them, you know, doing quiz questions for the kids. So they're starting to do some of that, but there's a lot of it available if you want to put the time into that stuff. There's a lot of it that's available for you at one of the deluxe resorts, and much more so, I think, than what's available at the value. So that's another advantage to the deluxe over the values, I think.
Yeah. So it just seems like the deluxe resorts are more of a package. There's more things that are potentially included in your resort stay when staying at a deluxe resort than there are at a value or even a moderate. You know, the moderates, I know, like Coronado has a place to get your hair cut, and they have a spa where you can get a massage. Those things aren't included in your stay, but it does have that, and they've got like two or three pools. But the deluxe resorts just feel a lot more like a Lani, you know, in Hawaii, where you kind of go and they've just got it's a real resort. It's a place for you to stay.
Yes. Yeah. And now, you know, even if you're staying at a deluxe resort, you still get to pay for the spa and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Sure.
If it's available, you know, like Saratoga Springs or something. But
right.
I think that is a lot of what it is a more complete experience, whereas values and to an extent moderates as well are more focused on this is lodging. And I don't, you know, and here's the thing though, I don't have a problem with that at all. And again, I think that's probably the reason why at some point I'm going to go stay at the Grand Floridian for like a night or two. I'd like to think
yeah,
at some point I'd like to go stay at Polynesian Village for a night or two.
So the issue, I guess, that I have and what makes me sad about how expensive they are is I don't want all that value, all that potential, you know, included things or whatever. But I do like a hotel that feels a little nicer, you know, in the way that, like, you've got Best Western and then there's Best Western Plus. That is, you know, Best Western is the kind of thing where the door opens to the outside, the window units are below the windows and stuff. But then Best Western Plus, you've got a lobby, all of the rooms open to the inside. It's just a little bit nicer. I enjoy a hotel that feels a little bit less like, okay, here's a room, you know, where you can stay. I like the experience. I want that experience of, you know, saying hey to everybody that works there. But I don't necessarily care about some of those other things that I think that they sell as, you know, the pluses of a deluxe resort. So I don't know. I wish there was some way to get that experience, but without any of the other stuff, the potential value adds.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, you would still be paying most of what you're paying to stay at the deluxe resorts, partially because it's a supply and demand sort of thing.
Right.
And partially because I really think that with Disney, I don't feel like one can come without the other. I don't feel like you can have that sort of a setup without ending up in basically having a deluxe resort, you know?
No, you're right. I mean, I think I'm being... because what I want is a Holiday Inn Express. You know, that's basically what I want, but that's, you know, that's not what Disney does, because Disney does sell the experience along with the room. You know, you kind of, everything is a package with Disney, and you're getting the experience, and you're getting the nicer room, and you're getting, you know, the the people and all these value adds and stuff. And that's just, that's what they do. And I fully understand that, but I want so badly to stay at the contemporary and to stay at the Polynesian, but I also want so badly to not pay $450 a night to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, go to Disney College Program alumni and book your room through them. And, you know, then it's, what did I pay? Like, I think it was like $190, $200, which was still expensive, but it was cheap for a room at the Contemporary. Here's the thing about Disney Deluxe Resorts, all of this to me, it all comes back down to what your perceived value is. For some people, the Deluxe Resort has an amazing amount of perceived value because they love having access to all of the stuff that comes with it, all of the amenities that are more immediately available to them, all of the stuff for their kids to do, all the stuff for them to do.
Yeah, I think perceived value is a good term to use.
Right, and perceive, and don't, please, no one get me wrong. When I say perceived value, it's not perceived as in, you know, Disney's pulling the wool over your eyes. It's what do you value compared to what do I value? And they're going to be different because we are different types of people.
Right.
Go ahead.
Because if you're looking, like, I can totally see, if you're the kind of person who's going to get up at 8 a.m., go to the park, and not come back to your room until 9 or 10 p.m., like, who cares where you're staying? You know, as long as there's air conditioning and there's a comfortable bed and a shower and a toilet, I mean, that's all you need if you're that kind of person. But a value or a moderate resort is going to be fine for that. And the perceived value of that is I have a relatively inexpensive, you know, comparatively speaking, place to stay. And it's got the essential, you know, amenities.
Right.
And that's the perceived value to someone like that. Whereas you know, that same person's going to look at the deluxe resort and go, I'm never there.
So why would I pay for something that I'm not going to get to experience?
Right, right, exactly. And I think that's where because I am the kind of person who I'm usually not in the hotel room while the sun is up. And so,
or while a park is open.
Right. And so, like, I would love to have the experience of a deluxe resort, but the justification of spending that much money for a place that I'm usually, you know, in for 10 hours a day just doesn't work, you know?
Right. And the problem there becomes the other side of that coin, I think, is if you were going to justify to yourself that it's worth staying at a deluxe resort, you know, again, in this mindset, because I share that mindset, the other side of saying, okay, then the Contemporary Resort is worth it, you're essentially saying the Contemporary Resort is more worth it than going to Magic Kingdom, than going to Epcot.
Right.
Because it's a binary decision there. I'm doing this or that.
Right.
And I'm choosing this over, and that's where the disconnect happens, because it's like, no, I would rather be at Epcot than be at a resort.
Right. Well, and does that affect your, I guess, would that affect your, like, you know, if you're leaving your resort and going, oh my gosh, I'm paying so much money, like, I should stay. You know, I should probably stay here and take advantage of some of these things I'm paying for, which is, you know, in turn, you're not going to a park and you're missing out on something over there. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It leads to some very interesting decisions. And, you know, and actually, as we're talking about this, here's the thing that I think that would interest me also. What is the advantage? And we've both stayed at both, to staying at a moderate over staying at a, I mean, the deluxe value difference is pretty obvious, but what about the moderate value difference?
So I've never stayed at a value resort.
Oh, so you, okay. Well, then I've experienced this.
I've stayed at Caribbean Beach once, but I don't really remember it. And then I've stayed at Coronado Springs 3 times now. And I love Coronado Springs, but I've never stayed at a value resort.
Yeah. See, I've stayed at Coronado Springs one time. I've stayed at Riverside twice, and then I've stayed at Pop and All Stars. I don't know how many times, quite a few. And again, at the end of the day, you get like a slightly larger room, maybe some maybe some better dining options, though I really don't. I don't know. I really like the dining at Pop Century, to be honest with you. I think it's great because you have so much choice available mm-hmm. there. So
right, yeah. But again, you're the kind of person who is very utilitarian in how you use a resort room.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
I mean, you're using it to sleep, shower, and shave.
Yes.
Like, that's it.
Yes.
And so, I would think that, and it's so weird that, like, the values are, you know, X dollars. The moderates are usually about 1.5, 2X. And then, you know, the deluxe are like 5 or 6X. And so the difference between a value and a moderate is so much less money-wise than even the difference between a moderate and a deluxe. And so I think it's a much easier choice. Like, okay, the values, there's probably going to be more families. There's probably going to be more kids. Do you want that, or is it worth paying a little bit more to have possibly less kids and, you know, have a bit of a more, at least at Coronado, a bit of a more grown-up experience.
Yeah. I do see that about that in Riverside, I guess, compared to say Pop Century. Though there were a lot of kids there the last time I was at Riverside, you know, with the, at least on the buses and stuff. So I don't know. I think what I've taken from this is that we need you to go stay at Pop Century next time you go to Disney. So that way you can actually, compare value in moderate resorts.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go tomorrow if you'll just send the money.
Well, what? HEB's got that like 20% off gift card thing, right? So I'll just buy you a couple of those and send you off for a couple of days.
Yeah, man. That'll work.
All right. So my question, though, is you guys have heard what we have to say. What do you have to say? Maybe we've got some listeners out there who have had better opportunities to sample the wide range of resorts available at Disney, and you guys give us some input. Let us know what you think are the differences. Help us, convince us that, you know, maybe the deluxe is really the way to go. Or, yeah, maybe you agree value. Or explain to me why I'm going to pay twice as much for a moderate other than, or maybe, heck, maybe Jeremy does have the best argument with less kids. But, I'm interested because, again, I've had some experience at all three of them. But it's definitely very limited experience outside of the values. So
on Twitter, we're MTM Podcast. We're at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. So yeah, get in touch with us and let us know. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.